Hello and welcome to Politically Enraged, a podcast made for the lefties amongst us. Politically Enraged is a podcast about politics, both British and further afield, and a place to talk about society and how it needs to be improved for everyone. You can find us on Twitter at Political Rages, Instagram at Politically Enraged. You can sponsor the show on Ko-fi, or you can follow my personal socials. I'm Davey Moo, across all social media, and I'm here to talk to real people about real problems and work out how we move forward. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to Politically Enraged, the lefties' refuge. Although there's precious few of those these days, so treasure it while you can, because apparently, according to Rishi Sunak, I'm going to get carted off to some facility and re-educated soon, because apparently I hate Britain. Talking about that is the reason for today's episode. I wanted to pose a question to everyone, even though I can't hear you, but just shout really loud. What is British? What is Britishness to you? What the fuck is Britishness to Rishi Sunak? The reason that I ask this question is because I ask it of myself all the time. One of the funniest things about being a political commentator is that I get so many people all the time telling me that I am a country hater, unpatriotic, I am a traitor, all because I don't lie down and accept the status quo of what the establishment, i.e. the Tories, tell me that I should. And there's a really interesting reason for that that I'd like to get immediately into, which is this. I critique the Tories all day, every day. It's what I do. It's my raison d'etre, if you want to say that. But if there's one thing I have to give to the Tories, it's that they played a blinder. They always have, but a blinder in 2016 and afterwards, when they positioned themselves as the party of country. They are the party of Britain. And they did it so, so well. And they did it through the lens of Brexit. The reason that people like Jacob Rees-Mogg do so well in Parliament, even though they are, by all accounts, objectively shite at their jobs, is because Jacob Rees-Mogg, all he has to do is tip up to Parliament, wearing a pressed suit and tie, nip up to the dispatch box, smirk and go, "A vote for me is a vote for your belief in a great and powerful Britain." It's a nothing sentence. It means nothing. It's completely devoid of sentiment. But that's all he has to do to reaffirm that voting for him is a vote for Britishness. The Britishness of the posh man stood at the microphone telling us all how to feel. Ironic, I know, but just so you're aware, I'm sat. But this is why I think we've struggled for such a long time, and it's the one thing I'm kind of half pleased about Boris Johnson's existence about, is that he started the deconstruction of the message that a vote for the posh-accented, cretinous twat who tells us all that we should suffer is in any way related to Britishness. And I wanted to speak about what I think Britishness is. But I do want to hear about what other people think. So, like, tweet me, you know, or, you know, mention me in a video or whatever. Respond to a blog post, whatever you want to do. Let me know what you think Britishness is. But here's my perspective on it. I grew up with a mum who, she was a nurse when she was younger. She didn't really like it because she hated having to tell people that family members had died, were dying, would die. And so she went into hairdressing. She opened up her own salon. And then I arrived and decided to ruin that for her, apparently. Sorry about that, Mum. My dad was a joiner. He tried to open a business and got screwed over by the person he was in partnership with, which, you know, winker. But I grew up in a household that wasn't, like, destitute, but we weren't, like, super poor. But so many things happened throughout my life. And I realised that the reason that we weren't super poor is because my dad did a lot of sacrificing and worked away a lot. The reason I mention all of this is that that kind of upbringing, that quintessential, like, you know, we weren't rich, we weren't super poor, we just got on with it. That's kind of Britishness. It's the people, it's the individual, and it's the collective amongst that as well. There's so many things that we all agree on, collectively or not. Whether you're left wing or right wing, obviously there's a few outliers, but so many people agree on so many things. And we're just so polarised against each other now. And, you know, is it Brexit? Is it Tories? Is it that we just have different ideas of how to get to the same end goal? I don't know. But I think it's sad, really, because it just seems like we're just so incapable of having rational discussion. And I don't know how we get past that. And I'm certainly not saying that I'm immune from that. One of the shittiest things about being a political commentator, and this happens pretty often. In fact, I checked my message requests on Instagram earlier, and I will never, ever, ever do that again, because holy shit. One of the shittiest things about it is you will occasionally get a really shitty message from someone that's like, "Oh, you country traiting bastard." And I'm like, okay, whatever. And you have this realization, like, that's the person that I'm trying to reach. Like, it's all well and good sitting here and making podcasts and videos and writing articles and tweeting all day and, you know, sitting of a night and reading books about British colonialism or, like, decentralizing power from London. It's all well and good doing those things, but it doesn't help people who are suffering. It's just, in a way, it's a bit meaningless because I'm still in this echo chamber of people who say the things I believe a lot and like the things I say. And I'm trying to reach the people that kind of either half do or just don't and convince them, like, hey, you deserve better than this. Like, can you not see that's what I'm saying, you know? But they take my criticisms of the Tories as like a personal slight. And sure, I say, like, no Tory's a good Tory. But I don't see Tory voters as Tories. I see Tory voters as Conservative voters. Tories are those pricks that stand in Parliament waffling on about how great they are at tax cuts while we've just stopped paying the highest taxes since World War fucking Two. And I wish that I could even try to understand their perspective of, like, David's anti-English or anti-British, because I don't see how me wanting a better country that works for everyone that lives here, that keeps everyone safe, that gives everyone the money they need to live and more asides, that helps them find property, that keeps them legally protected, I don't see how that's me being unpatriotic. I might slate the people that you vote for, but it's not a personal attack against you. It's an attack against them for being fucking terrible at their jobs. I will say as well that I have experienced some very weird things recently, which may be controversial, might get me in the shit, but I'm going to fucking say it anyway. I say it all the time. There's no point in being a political commentator and just feeding back the things that people don't argue with or that people don't disagree with sometimes, because what's the point? We are polarised in this country. We are polarised against each other because of the political parties we vote for. We are polarised because of skin colour, sexuality, gender, whatever. We are polarised in a million different ways, and there are ways around that. But we are also polarised in amongst ourselves. That's why, if you ask me, we on the left have such a massive problem. I have been openly critical recently of Labour's stance on Brexit and on Keir Starmer in particular, just for a few things that he's done that I've really, really disliked or disagreed with and been really frustrated with. And I've been told so many times that that stance is going to lead to another 5 years of Tory and, no, I didn't know you were another Tory enabler and blah, blah, blah. And that mindset is so frustrating to me. You're entitled to it, but I disagree. If I can't critique the political party that I'm going to vote for, then that's not a political party. It's a cult. I'm allowed to call out the things that political people, especially that I'm going to vote for, that they do. I'm allowed to critique it. It's never meant to take power away from them. If I was meaning to do that, you would be well aware. But gently critiquing things that I don't agree with isn't an attack on Labour or saying don't vote for them. It's me saying, well, I don't agree with that. And if that's a problem, then it's a problem that you have to deal with and not me, because I'm going to say it. Equally, I've also been under attack recently online from quite a few people because I've been critical of some things that have come out about Jeremy Corbyn and the things that he's done recently and things that he's done further in the past that I had no fucking idea about. And the thing that I found is, it's so funny how people on the left of every single stripe will laugh at people that stand behind Boris Johnson no matter what he does and be like, oh, I love Boris, mate. I think he's well funny. I reckon I could go for a pint with him. Like, that kind of thinking is idiocy. Boris Johnson wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire. And if he did, it would probably kill you anyway, because I assume the man's urine is 90% alcohol. But that's besides the point. People will critique relentless Boris Johnson stands for that, and then will bend over backwards to defend Keir Starmer's relentlessly hard push for Brexit, which I don't agree with. I get where he's coming from, and people are going to listen to this podcast and tweet me and be like, it's common sense, we'll never get back in. Oh, why can't you just see it from his perspective? And I do. But it doesn't mean I don't still have a problem with, but like, I can't shelve my issues with Brexit just because Keir Starmer says that that's the only thing to do. And me critiquing it, I'm aware there's no other option. So what's the problem? I know Keir Starmer has to stand that way. I get it. It doesn't mean I can't say, well, that's bullshit, isn't it? If that's what upsets the apple cart, then how fucking stable was it in the first place? When it comes to Jeremy Corbyn and doing this interview that he's done, I'm like, well, that wasn't a good idea, was it, Jeremy? Well done for outing yourself as a complete fool when it comes to the idea of what we do when there's a fucking war on. If people were attacking the UK, would you be like, God, I hope people don't send us weapons and then this war's over quicker? Ukraine is under attack by Russia, and we need to help them, because otherwise they will be steamrolled by Russia. And if we don't help them, then they will be steamrolled by Russia and people will die. I'm sure the war will be over quicker if we don't give them weapons, but they will also lose. Does that not seem wrong to you? But I think the problem comes down to polarisation more than anything else as well. People are going to hear this and they're going to decide where I sit for me. They're going to tell me where I sit. Or my favourite thing that's been happening recently is they're going to choose for me and tell me that's where I am. But despite this, despite all of the hours of podcasts I've recorded, despite all the videos, all of the tweets, you don't live in my head. You don't know where I sit. I'm the same with you, which is why I don't ever call anyone a Corbynist or a Starmerite or whatever, because you're allowed to have your political beliefs. I'm allowed to think that they're wrong. If we can't talk rationally about them, we'll never move anywhere. But this podcast itself, this episode itself, this will lead to people deciding they don't like me anymore because I don't 100% stand where they do. And that's really pathetic in the nicest way I can say that. It comes across as harsh, but there's no other way to say it because I want to snap people out of this. I have criticisms of the Tories, which I go into all the time. I have criticisms of Keir Starmer, which for a while I made the mistake of sitting on and going, I'm not going to talk about that because I don't want to rock the boat and I don't want to be the person that convinces someone they shouldn't vote Labour and we get another Tory government, especially with the platform that I have that just keeps growing and growing. But it's not fair to say to people, I don't really believe in everything that he says, but you should vote for him anyway. I'm going to be like, I think that on balance, we absolutely have to vote Labour. There is no choice. We've got to vote Labour because the Tories are doing some terrible things. And then people are like, oh, so you're just voting for the lesser of two evils? And I'm like, that's the way I see it. And they're like, oh, well, that's so good, isn't it? And I'm like, I don't know what you want from me. I haven't created the political climate that we're in. I'm just giving you my opinion on it. You don't have to listen to me. You don't have to think that I'm right. If you don't like what I'm saying, don't do it. This is like the same shit that like gay people get all the time of like, I don't agree with gay marriage. Don't get gay married then. If you don't want to vote for Keir Starmer and Labour, then don't vote for Keir Starmer's Labour. But at the same time, realise the consequences that will come with that, which is another Tory government. I think one of the problems with what I do is that people think that I'm coming to you and I'm going, here's all the answers on a plate. This is what I think, so this is what everyone should think. I'm a political commentator, but in my spare time, I'm self-employed. I work for two different companies and I do a bit of journalism on the side. Like, I am not a genius. I'm not the person to come to for your answers. I'm the person that just like is on this weird political journey and is learning a lot of stuff because I like to learn about stuff and I think I might be a bit hyper-fixated on politics. And I'm giving you my opinion. My opinion could be wrong. There's another problem. A lot of people refuse to admit that they could be wrong. I could be completely wrong, and it could be a disaster when we get Keir Starmer in and his Labour's terrible. I don't know. On balance, from what I've looked at, I'm like, there is literally nothing that could be worse than another 5 years of Tory, because they are just getting more and more and more extreme and more and more hateful and more incapable of running the country, because they're just bringing us into a death spiral. The problem is, and the overarching point that I'm trying to make is, we argue about what Britishness is, but right now, what is Britishness? Because I told you, I think it's the people, but right now, the people are locked in this weird dance of death where you have to pick a side, you have to pick a politician, you have to 100% back and side with that politician no matter what they do and say, because that is who you are, that is your identity. And I don't understand that. I am not a member of the Labour Party. I am not loyal to Keir Starmer. Keir Starmer has been elected to the top of the Labour Party to enact what the Labour Party wants him to and what the broader general public do. If he missteps, I'm a member of the general public and I'm going to call him out. That's why I call the Tories out all the time, because everything that they do is a misstep. Everything that they do, every policy they put in has been shit. Every thing that they have tried to do has made the country worse. They stir up division, they stir up hatred. They are bad at government. Equally, I think that Corbyn's made his mistakes with his little interview that he's done. I don't agree with anything really that he's said in it. I was really shocked to hear some of the words come out of his mouth. There is absolutely no ambivalence towards saying that he was completely mistreated by the British press, who absolutely hauled him over the coals for stuff that wasn't a problem. But there were problems that he was involved in his historical running of the Labour Party, that need to be looked at. If you see that as a problem, if you want to argue with that, then do it, with my blessing. But realise that, isn't it a bit weird how you don't like how people will stand behind Boris Johnson and can't and won't hear critiques about him? And you're doing the same thing with your guy. I don't owe people my fealty. I see politics as, how do we get the best result for the most people? And it's been really shit really getting into politics, because I used to be such an idealist who used to look at it and be like, we must be able to fix this so everyone can be happy and healthy and all of that. And I think there's so much to it that there will always be people that slip through the cracks. We have to create a system that works best for everybody. But one of the main ways we have to do that is to stop idealising people and expecting them to be the answer to all of our problems. And one of the best ways we can do that, I think, is for us to start solving problems ourselves where we can. I don't think that the government, especially the Tory government, is going to be the answer to things like anti-LGBTQIA sentiment. Most people know someone who is LGBTQIA. Most people know the nonsense in the papers and said in the streets and things like that. But what do they do about it? Like, what do they do to take hold of that? What do people that are outside of the community do to take ownership of that and deal with it? What do we do as white people in a country that's still majority white? What do we do to challenge daily racism, monthly racism, yearly racism, structural racism? What do we do as people? We look to the government to solve these problems, and I'm starting to think that that might be a mistake, because they can enact laws and things like that. But for me, it's about the broader implications of a society that looks to someone to answer its questions and lionizes political figures and never thinks, I could do something to solve this. I could do something to answer that query, shut that person's negativity down, educate someone on something they didn't know about. But do we do that? And I don't honestly think we do, and I'm certainly including myself in that. I think we all have a lot of work to do in that respect. I know this has been a big circuitous route, but this is why I get so frustrated. People see critique in Britain as un-British, but I see it as the only way that we can improve Britain. And I think as people, we have a responsibility to ourselves and each other to do that. It's not up to the government to fix it. And it's not up to, you know, a handful of political figures or a handful of political commentators to do that. It's up to all of us on an individual level. Some of us have more to cope with than others, and some of us can do more or less than others. But we do have to do something at some point. And I think the problem is a lot of people, no matter where they sit on the political spectrum, they kind of think that putting their fingers in their ears and singing the national anthem as loud as they can is the answer. And the fact is, whether you know all the words or not, you're engaging in continuing a society that doesn't work. I think at the end of the day, we have to change politics fundamentally in the UK. It's not working. It's not working for us as people. It's not working as a system. I think that there are broader aspects of society that we have to change, which is a deeper conversation and one for another day, and one that I'm not ready for yet either. I've been looking at, you know, like capitalist structures and how those work and impact on people's mental and physical health and blah, blah, blah. And I just don't have the words yet for anything else, but it's something that I try to read into, even if it's only theoretical. But ultimately, the society that we're in is really flawed. And it's time that we stop knee-jerk reacting to defend things and hear the criticisms and ask ourselves honestly, is there meat behind that criticism? Are those people right to say those things? Because I think until we have the honest answers to those questions, which are sometimes it's okay to critique stuff, and a critique doesn't necessarily mean I hate it, I want to cancel it. Sometimes a critique is a question or just a general statement. I think until we stop polarizing everything down into you either love it or you hate it, I don't think we're ever going to move forward. And that includes as Britain, as the world, as leftists. Because I just think that we're too busy at each other's throats to actually come up with any solid answers to anything. Some disclaimers before I sign off. I know that, like I said, I know that I'm probably going to catch some heat for saying the stuff I've said in this episode. If I'm wrong about things, I have no ego. Prove me wrong. Tell me that I'm wrong. Show me that I'm wrong. I have no problem with that. I don't mind being proved wrong. I like being wrong because it usually means that things are more positive than I think. But the problem that I have and the problem that I fear and the reason that I stay quiet about some things is that I'm genuinely afraid of some of the backlash that you can get from saying your opinion. And I'm not going to do that anymore. If people don't like my opinion, I've said it a million times, you don't have to support me, you don't have to follow me, you don't have to listen to what I say, you don't have to acknowledge my existence. You also don't have to be a dick. Like, I genuinely don't go out of my way, other than politicians on Twitter to call them out on nonsense that they say, I don't go out of my way to find people to disagree with. And recently, I've become aware that people think I do this. I get accused of brand building, and I get accused of being fake or an outrage merchant was something I got recently. I can say this a million times. I don't know why people think that I've got a media team or why people think that I'm like secretly super rich. Like, I earn the normal salary for the UK. That's what I earn, right? That's where I am. So am I super poor? No. But am I anywhere near rich? Am I fuckers like? I'm just making commentary on stuff. And people seem to like that. And I'm happy that people do. I'm happy that people listen. I'm happy that people support me and all of that. I'm also just a human being. And I can make missteps and stuff. But the overarching point I'm trying to make is I encourage everyone to question everything that they believe within reason. You don't have to stand 100% behind a political leader just because you like him or because you liked his policies or his manifestos. You don't have to stand behind someone because you're afraid of the alternative. You have the right, the fundamental right, to question these people because they work for us and for you. So I beg people out there who hear this, whether you are an unrepentant Boris Stan, whether you stand behind Starmer no matter what, whether you stand behind Jeremy Corbyn no matter what he says or does, deconstruct that and ask yourself why. Because I was an unrepentant Jeremy Corbyn stan for a while. Like, I was really, really obsessed with him in 2017, 2018, peaking early 2019. And Now I'm not, because I've questioned things. I've never really, like, loved Keir Starmer, but I've never really, like, hated the guy openly, apart from when he went to the LGBT plus conversion therapy church, and before he apologised. And then when he apologised, I was like, stupid move, but whatever, I've looked at your history, I know your stance on LGBT plus rights, I can cope with a fuck-up. I've always hated Boris Johnson, because I've known about the man for a very long time, and he's done myriad things I dislike. But ultimately, the thing for me that's always remained true is, I look at the people, I judge them on what they say and do, and that's all I can go off. But I do judge them. And I urge more people to look at that. Because Britain right now, as it stands, is on the precipice of falling into something really dire. And Rishi Sunak is saying that he's not going to allow critique of that. And the authoritarianism and, like, the fascism in that is insane. And that's only been enabled because people can't hear critique of what they like or who they like. We've got to start stepping back and listening to each other, is what I'm saying. If that's a talking point you disagree with, then I don't think it's me with the problem, is all I'll say there. I hope this episode's made you think, and if you're angry at me, then hit me up on Twitter, where I will either listen to you or say, you're wrong. Okay, bye. Thanks as always for joining us here on Politically Enraged, the Lefties Refuge. If you do want to follow me on social media so we can chat about the episodes and future upcoming information, you can follow me on Twitter, either at Political Rages or Davy Moo. You can follow me on Instagram at Politically Enraged or Davy Moo. And you can follow me on TikTok at Davy Moo. If you do want to sponsor the show on Ko-fi, you can just search Politically Enraged on Ko-fi. Join me again soon for another episode of Politically Enraged. And remember, get politically engaged and stay politically enraged.